KUJZ is 95.3 The Score. And now,
check this out.
It's crunch time with Steve Tannen.
They think he's a righteous dude.
What I win?
Live from the Papa John studio.
Wait a minute. Let me get CB on the line. We're green lighting it. It's a go.
And I want full air support. I want tanks and some fire thrower. And I want explosions over here. And I want planes going. Cool.
Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Greetings. Welcome to a Friday. Normally, I wait till 5 o'clock to say the weekend is here. I'm thinking it is now. Why? Well, because our vacation is pending. As we roll into the Friday program, we've got what I would refer to as a lot of show. Does that make sense? Let's do a peek-a-loo at the schedule. We've got Aaron Fentress at the bottom of this hour. He'll be at the Rose Bowl. He'll be at the last two Seattle Seahawks football games in Seattle. 3:45, kind of a variation on the tool shed. I have every single kind of sheet with my notes, and I just was picking out random ones, and I was like, So I brought up about five from the past year that I wanted to kind of just send out a reminder about in case the jerk store was having problem with their inventory. 4:05, typical Friday for the football season, Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. 4:30, bottom of the 4 o'clock hour, Jerry Thompson of Ducks Illustrated. The new edition is out. What did I do with it? Oh, there it is. I was like, it's just out of my hand. 4:45, something we like to call Steve and Nick's Three Picks, courtesy of our friends with the new Oregon Lottery app.
The Steve and Nick Three Pick. Right. It only works if Nick and Pick run.
What if it's Nick's and Picks?
No, that's not my name. Because we don't pick the Knicks either. Yeah, can you imagine?
Yeah, right.
By the way, that'll be at 4:45.
Thank you.
And sometime in the 5 o'clock hour, we absolutely have to play Adam Sandler's original. Last year, I found kind of an updated version. I went back 25 years and 3 weeks ago this Saturday, he debuted it. When Norm MacDonald was hosting Weekend Update, Sandler sat next to him with his guitar, and the reaction of the crowd might be the equal to the song. Just because, imagine hearing that the first time. I mean, in the past 25 years, how many times have you heard it? 3-4 times a year? You know, like 100 times. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Tomorrow, there's a kind of what in baseball they would refer to as a split doubleheader at Matthew Knight Arena. The Oregon women taking on Kansas State. High noon. And then 7:30, Oregon, as weird as it sounds, a little bit of a revenge game as Texas Southern, who bounced the Ducks here last year, the end of November. So you got that going for you. I'm already 0-1 on my in my bowl game pool.
Tannenism.
What? Losing bowls? Bets?
Losing bets is a tannenism, yes.
So you have to have it in by the start of the first game this morning, which was 11 a.m. So I hadn't even looked at it. And I said, the way I overthink, like when I pick my brackets and, you know, pools like this and bowl pools and confidence pools and NBA playoff pools, I said, you know what? I sat down and in 4 minutes, literally, it took me 4 minutes to pick every game by the betting line, and I just went, I like that school better than that school. I like that school better than that school. And in my mind, I was just having, like, it was based on, like, the most random things in the world. So, like, it was Charlotte against Buffalo. I'd be like, there's no chance I'd want to live in Buffalo. Charlotte seems like a really nice place. I'll go there. Utah State, Kent State. Kent State, historically, Ohio, Neil Young's song about the 1970 tragedy. I went there. I don't know why I took Central Michigan over San Diego State. In my mind, it was like Chippewas, cool name. I went with them.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. This
was my logic.
How often do you get to say Chippewa? What is a Chippewa? I want to know. And but I'm not going to look it up.
And to me, there's also an interesting connection because the current Arizona athletic director is Dave Hickey, who used to be a senior athletic an associate athletic director at Oregon. And in between, he was athletic director at Central Michigan.
Chippewa.
Yeah. So I just saw him when the Ducks played Arizona. I had a nice conversation with he and his wife, who are awesome. So I went with them. Miami, Louisiana Tech, the U. Come on. What are you, nuts?
They're pretty bad, though.
Pitt, Eastern Michigan. It's like, Pitt, good memories. Tony Dorsett, Matt Cavanaugh.
The better uniforms in that game as well. That's something you
don't. By the way, that came to my mind a couple times. I just thought, I was like, yeah, in my mind it was, and let me say, I ran through this BYU Hawaii, way rather be in Hawaii than Provo, not even a question.
No, Pitt, when they went back from like the actual gold that like Larry Fitzgerald wore like at the start of last century or whatever it was, certainly last decade, they went from that to like the very throwback 80s with like the bright yellow and the even brighter royal blue. They look fantastic. So yeah, you got to go Pitt.
Michigan State, I don't like them. I went Wake Forest. Texas A&M, Texas schools, I went Oklahoma State. Air Force Academy, Washington State, easy. I don't like Washington State. I don't like Leach. I love our service academies.
You're burying the lead on Texas A&M as well. Mike Gundy, you've got to root for the guy with the mullet.
Well, I kind of always have had a thing for that Oklahoma State program. I like Gundy.
Big fan of OSU schools that wear orange and black.
there was, you know, a Notre Dame pick against them, a Penn State pick against them. I went with Oklahoma over LSU. You know I'm riding Clemson. I got them. Western Kentucky, Western Michigan. I was like, the Hilltoppers all day long. Cal, Illinois, Cal Berkeley, I'll go. What else? Arizona State, Florida State. I just going my man Herm. Naval Academy, again, service academies. I went Bama over Michigan just to annoy Michigan fans. Minnesota over Auburn. I have no idea why I picked that. Oregon over Wisconsin. That was a tough one. UGA over Baylor. Art Briles out of the contest. Nevada, Tulane. Tulane, I just always think the Green Wave. It's like it's a cool name. I'm going with them over Southern Miss. Sorry, Brett Favre. And that was my logic. It had almost nothing to do with football. Guarantee I finished farther up the charts than I have in decades.
Is this the one you were showing me yesterday after the show where you get a prize for first, second, third, and 13th?
Yeah.
Why 13th?
Just random. So you could not be in it. Have a late run, all of a sudden go from 20th to 13th. Yeah, you win. Here's a prize.
Because I think it was on the Lebatard show. Like, Stu Gatz is in some gigantic pick'em group or whatever where, like, everybody picks five games a week and they submit their picks and whatever and this whole thing. And you get a prize for, like, finishing at the top, obviously. But then you get a prize for being in last place, too. But, like, you have to, like,
I've
try
seen
or
those
whatever.
Polls as well.
So that's very interesting that you would have to think, this is the pick I would make for this game, but I'm going to pick against it, so I hope I lose, which is fading myself. But then you think you've constantly been losing, so you have to double fade yourself, which is going with your gut in the first place, which means you're still trying to pick right, even though you're trying to pick wrong.
I'm not trying to pick wrong. I'm trying to pick differently. I'm removing analytics and football knowledge completely from the picture. Yeah. All right. 284-8571. The Oregon fuel injection hotline. What you need to do as well is you could text us 321-0824. Try us on Twitter at 953thescore for the station, for the show at SportsTalk953. For Nick, it is at Rick Nodgers. And the other stories making the round today, the Heisman Trophy winner Joe Burrow, who gave that neat speech last Saturday night in New York, and he ended up raising a bunch of money, like several hundred thousand dollars, for the food bank in his hometown, which apparently a lot of people live well below the poverty line. And so the superintendent was directed, at the behest of the Athens City School District Board of Ed, they are changing the name of the stadium he played high school in to Joe Burrow Stadium. That's pretty cool. And by the way, this week, the young man also received his master's in liberal arts for LSU. So that's not a bad week.
Yeah, it was. I think I heard this on another podcast as well, but Joe Burrow, when he was, because he transferred from OSU,
right.
He actually got his degree from OSU and then transferred. So there is the possibility that if Ohio State beats Clemson and LSU beats Oklahoma, he will be playing as a graduate of LSU with his master's against a school that he already graduated
from.
That's
amazing.
How cool is that?
That's very cool. Too bad Clemson's winning. But anyway, okay. So they were talking about it on Rome. They were talking about it on Tiki and Tyranny. I saw some people tweeting about it, and I still don't get it. This in-season NBA tournament, $1 million per player for the winners. So basically, during the season, they're going to say, stop! Here's a bracket. Let's play against each other for a prize that, what? They got the O'Brien Trophy. Isn't that why you go to the NBA? Well, aside to make some serious cabbage to vie for the NBA championship. The NBA wants this in-season tournament. It would start with pool play. Isn't that water polo? As part of the regular season schedules. And then the teams with the best records advance to an 8-team single elimination tournament that would start in mid-December. So the concerns expressed beyond to me, why? That a lot of players probably would rather have the 5 days off that would come if you didn't qualify for the tournament, rather than, so if you're making $40 million and your team is in the hunt, would you rather have the 5 days off or win some fictional award and make another million? By the way, the average NBA salary is $9 million. That's WMM. But of course, you know, your big guns make in 32, 37, 39, stuff like that. And the NBA is talking about revenue neutral returns for teams that would shorten the schedule to 78 games. The league thinks, yeah, but we can make this dough up through television rights and sponsorships. And so it's going to get put to a vote, and it's a 2/3 deal. I think it's like to override a presidential veto. 23 votes. And what they want to do is have it coincide with the start of the league's 75th anniversary, which would be, this is 1920, next is 2021, so the year after that. There were a lot of debates about, you know, what's the point? And that's my take. I don't even understand the purpose.
To be different, to try something new, because why not?
I don't know. Your season is based on the end-of-season tournament. Why do you need one in season?
To change it up and to be different and to try something, to get people to watch regular season games that they don't care about because they know if it's anything before February, it's a pseudo All-Star game, and then you watch the All-Star game and nobody really tries until March or April anyways, and then you get into the playoffs and then you get excited.
See, I think that's a bad misconception. See, I know that games are not getting good TV ratings, but these guys bust their ass every night.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying the players aren't trying. I'm just saying you can add a little bit extra something to these regular season games that really in the big picture they don't mean that much.
I think it's completely wrong. I think that these guys will play just as hard as they would against the Kings on December 17th than they would if they're playing in some semifinal of a tournament that has no impact on their goal of winning a championship.
That's fair, but it's also like you're taking into the European soccer model, which is they have 2 to 3 in-season tournaments that you're trying to win various cups that, depending on different fan bases, mean a lot or mean a little. And to some of these, you know, there's one that's called the Carabao Cup that is just about to wrap up, that's, you know, called the League Cup, which would basically be like this, or the FA Cup or whatever. And some teams and clubs see that winning a trophy, no matter what it is one of the most important goals of the year, and that's something you have to go for, and that's something that they go all in on when they pick their teams and how they compete and how serious they take it. And others say, no, we'd rather win the league. No, we'd rather win the Champions League. We'd rather do X. We'd rather do Y. And so you've got constantly a competition to try and win something, which is kind of what sports is all about.
So there, when the Premier League starts,
yes,
there is a better goal than winning the Premier League championship?
Yes, the Champions League.
The Champions League.
Yes, which you have to qualify
through
the previous season by playing well in the Premier League. So the regular season still means something because you play everybody twice. The games mean a lot. You're trying to avoid relegation. You're trying to finish higher up in the table because the higher up you finish, the more money you get.
That is something I would love to see implemented in the pros.
Relegation?
The bad teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Knicks next year. Sorry, you got to play in the G League.
No, yeah. Well, that's something that would absolutely fix the MLS and the problems that they have, but they're too addicted to money, so they won't do it. So, that's another thing that the MLS won't do. But yeah, like you have the Premier League regular season means a lot because there's qualifications for things, there's money involved, there's rights, and there's leagues that you play for. And if you finish in the top four, you get the Champions League. Then you 5, 6, 7 get the Europa League, and then qualifications, and then you try and win the Europa League so that you can get to the Champions League. You win the Champions League and you can say that you're the best team in the world. Like, all of these things are very important. And then within England, you have other cups and things. And I'm sure at first they sounded weird and dopey. And yeah, you know, 100 years ago, people are like, why would you ever try to win this FA Cup thing? It's all about winning the Premier League. And now here we are where winning the FA Cup is seen as just as important as winning the Premier League. And it seems dumb now, but if you gave it a couple years and maybe your team starts to win something and you feel the excitement of it and you give it some time, and it could be cool. If you just take it for something that's fun and entertaining rather than, this isn't the way that sports are played. You play for the playoffs in June.
Maybe a lot of people are missing the point that I love watching the NBA night in, night out. I don't need a reason.
Well,
you can't deny me that.
Okay, but I'm saying, like,
they're not going to have my interest more. They got it, 100%. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Here's a question off the text line. Is Real Madrid the winningest team in Champions League history? I got no idea. I will get on that. Seems like an interesting question. You've asked a good question and deserve to be called wise. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Did you hear that question? Is Real Madrid the winningest team in Champions League history?
Yeah, I think they've won 7 Champions League titles.
All right,
at least.
Good get.
I think.
All right, one call, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's get to Mike. Mike, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve, it's going well. when I heard you started talking about this extra league that they're thinking of doing for the NBA, the only thing that came to mind was, why instead of them getting $1 million or however much they're going to be getting per player, why don't they have a donation set up where they donate it to their favorite charity or, you know, their school they went to in high school or whatever like that. I think that'd be a great idea.
Because they're greedy and they're doing this in lieu of other games, so it's about revenue. Like I said, this is not another league. This is just a tournament within the season.
Yeah, I get it. And I don't get leagues or tournaments within tournaments. The whole soccer thing, it kind of blows my mind as it is.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mike. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
It's 13 European Cup/Champions League titles for Real Madrid, which is a lot.
That sounds like a lot. Although, since when, though? How many decades are
they won in 1955, 56, 57, 58, 58, 59, 59, 60. So they pretty much dominated almost an entire decade there. So the European Cup goes back pretty late as well. I'm trying to read the Wikipedia page. It's founded in 1965. So it's a 64, 65-year-old tournament that has been going on for some time. And Real Madrid just started off by winning all of them and then getting a bunch of really good players later.
All right. See what happens with this NBA tournament? It landed us in Europe, which is just troubling. So one of the things I want to get to today is between now and when we return on Monday, December 30th, safe to say a lot's going to happen. I mean, the NFL regular season is going to end. We will have seen the first two national semifinal games, and we'll know who's playing Clemson for the national title. By the way, the national title game is 2 weeks from this. No, 3 weeks from Monday. All right. The week we come back is when Pac-12 play for the women and men start, and they both play mañana. We'll go over those games a little bit. There's some really good college-based basketball as well. Kentucky and Ohio State tomorrow. Villanova taking on number one Kansas, and get to that. Like I said, we've got multiple guests, and I do want to remind you, no need to pay full price when you could pay half. Your friends at KUJZ 95.3 The Score have a great way for you to save big bucks. Go to our website, 95.3thescore.com. Click on the Sweet Deals link. Save half price on local area businesses. And we are into restaurant week today. Centennial Steakhouse tomorrow. George and Violet's. Get the details on the Sweet Deal link at 95.3thescore.com. All right. We'll take a break, come back, we'll have an update. We'll talk with Aaron Fentress of The Athletic next. 95.3 The Score.
Today's show is brought to you by the Coors Light Frost Brewed Sports Desk. Coors Light is the official sponsor of your Oregon Ducks and the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Tweet Steve at SportsTalk953 for your chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Herbert, give it to Verdell. He's got the first down and gone! 50! Can you chase your way to the 30? He will run to the 20, to the 5! C.J. Verdell! Thank you, offensive line!
That, in essence, was the play that buried the Utes and sent the Ducks to the Rose Bowl. As we welcome you back, Crunch Time 95.3 The Score. We'll get Aaron Fentress in here in a matter of a moment or two. Talking about this NBA in-season tournament. Some good takes from you guys. We've got the Saturday edition of NFL football tomorrow with three games, then 13 on Sunday, and then we're down to one more game left in the regular season. Bowl season is underway. Oh, Buffalo and Charlotte today. What a bad game. I was in the Bahamas, so I guess it's probably a good gig to draw. But otherwise, let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline because we've reached that point on a Friday. Let's get our view from the north. This will be the last time we chat until the calendar turns to 2020. To cover in Oregon and the Seahawks for The Athletic. Subscribe, support quality journalism. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, how are you doing?
Well, I'm driving north to my daughter's basketball game at Evergreen High School. I don't know if you've ever tried to go north at this time of day on a Friday. into Vancouver. But let's just say that it is not a pleasant experience unless you enjoy going 5 miles an hour.
Going 12 right now. These are the reasons that I used to, in Jersey, drive on the shoulder and get a lot of tickets because of my impatience.
So I might try that. Hold on.
Yeah, don't emulate anything I did as a New Jersey driver. It'll just cost you money and aggravation. So,
you know, I may have to go to New Jersey someday and look up your criminal fund.
I think it's on one of the billboards as you get out of Newark Airport. So, you posted something on Twitter. It's the promo. And as a rule, I'm not wired in like the old days. But how stoked are we to check out Eddie Murphy returning to 30 Rockefeller Plaza to host SNL tomorrow?
We're very stoked. I hope it's not bad. I hope it's good. I hope it lives up to expectations. At least comes close. How old was I when he was on there? I was in junior high, I think. Junior high, early high school. And, man, me and my little clique of friends, that's all we would talk about every Sunday and Monday was Eddie Murphy on SNL, what he did. I'll never forget Buckwheat, and when Buckwheat got shot.
Yep.
That whole series of Buckwheat getting shot, playing off of the, I mean, maybe it was kind of inappropriate because it was playing a little bit off of Ronald Reagan getting shot around the same time. But that was some hilarious stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. Plus, here's the other thing, too, dude, if you're an Eddie Murphy fan. He's made a lot of mediocre movies over the years. It's been really, really hit or miss, which is kind of depressing for me. Because I used to watch every single thing he did, no matter what. And then after, like, Holy Man and Little Nash and Analyze That, or not Analyze This, I Say Anything or whatever, I was just really skeptical. And there's like four or five Eddie Murphy movies I have not watched.
No.
And I have no interest in watching because I know they're going to suck. And that's depressing.
Well, the problem was he hit the home run on Saturday Night Live. The first stand-up was brilliant. And the first three movies, 48 Hours, Trading Places, and Beverly Hills Cop, were awesome. So there was no reason to think it was going to stink. And then you'd be like, well, that was bad. But the next, well, that was bad. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, so they're all bad now.
Right. Like, it was like one out of his five were good. One Professor was good. Boomerang is a classic. But like remember... Harlem Nights,
yeah.
Richard Pryor, Red Fox, they kind of screwed that up. Now I've gone back and watched it over the years, it's gotten better to me, I've accepted it, but at the time I was so disappointed. It was basically just them all sitting around saying the F word over and over. Daddy Daycare was good, but like Haunted Mansion was awful. Like this, I thought Life was good. You know, it just was every other, like every fifth movie was good. But he was making 20 mil a movie, so it was like, he was just cashing in. And I don't know if I ever told you this, but my uncle has been Eddie Murphy's stand-in for like 25 years.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
And after like all the nice poster and the Boomerang poster, that's my uncle's body. And then they put Eddie Murphy's head over it. And so like anytime they do, like a movie professor, when he's one character talking to another, my uncle's the other one.
I will never see that movie again in the same light without thinking of you. So there you go. Thanks a lot, Fentress.
But one more thing. He would warn me whenever a movie was coming out. He'd be like, yeah, dude, I don't know if you want to see it for it.
My cousin had been a part of some rewrites when he was living in L.A., and he would, you know, call me and say, by the way, if this movie comes out, don't waste your $7.
Exactly.
It's garbage.
Exactly.
All right, anyway. So some Seahawks here. I saw you retweeted a story from your colleague, Michael Sean Duggar, about the injury bug that's hit this defense in particular. Clowney didn't practice. I think Shaq Griffin, Wagner, Michael Kendricks. I mean, they're playing in less than 48 hours. What's the word on how dinged up they are on that side of the ball?
Yeah, and then Al Woods is getting suspended for 4 games for PEDs. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah, the defensive tackle that they signed to fill a hole at defensive tackle, where they would have a huge hole without him at defensive tackle. So, the defense is a mess right now. It's hard to say who's going to make a miraculous comeback and play this weekend. I imagine some of those guys might. You would hope that maybe you don't need all of them to beat a Arizona team, but Arizona, they can get high on offense and they can make things kind of uncomfortable for you. So they definitely need a few of those cats back. But yeah, this is kind of a weird week with Josh Gordon on offense being suspended as well. Yeah, they're starting to have some bad luck in terms of bodies.
Yeah, and on the other side, as we continue with Aaron Fentress of The Athletic, it seems you and I, every other week, we kind of track the running game, because when they run, they roll. And now season-ending surgery for Rashad Penny. I mean, he had formed a really nice 1-2 punch with Carson. How damaging is this, and who's going to get his spot?
That's really damaging. I thought they'd go out and sign someone, and they haven't. CJ Procise is a guy who's like been on the roster forever but never really lived up to his potential because of injuries. And this year he's finally healthy and he just doesn't play well. He just does not perform when he's out there. And he's your number 2 back right now. So that's a little scary the way Carson runs. He seems violent. And then Travis Homer, the rookie out of Miami, is a 3rd back. And he's had maybe 3 or 4 carries all season. So you're kind of living dangerously right now with Carson as your only legitimate ball carry with any, you know, pedigree or experience. If they had to go with Procise full time, I don't know what would happen because he's just not performing well. I mean, for sure they'd want to sign somebody. Maybe they have a guy in mind and we're just like, okay, let's just see what happens if we can get by and then bring him in if needed. But with all these other bodies falling off the wayside, they may have a roster spot. If Bell Woods is suspended, so that's to go out and bring in a bench. But then again, they might even be tackled. So it's going to be tough to see what happens.
Let's finish with a couple of thoughts on Oregon. I know you're like me when it comes to recruiting. We don't doubt its value, but you just can't dive in like some of these other people do. But this class, you see the people on ESPN national radio talking about Oregon up there with LSU and Alabama. I mean, just safe to say, man, the talent level Cristobal and his people are bringing here are just better than we've seen historically. Whoops.
Yeah, so help me out with this. So 24/7 has them ranked 18th, right?
Yeah.
And then Rodgers has it 10.
Yeah, there's some flexibility in there.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it's a good class of the other 2 five-star kids. It's obviously not as highly rated as last year's number 7 class. I don't know. I mean, my feeling coming out of Helfrich was that, you know, the only way I would ever justify firing Helfrich would be to find someone who could recruit inside the top 10 every year. Taggart looked like he was going to be able to do that, but since they fired Helfrich, they on rivals like around 24/7, they've been 18, 18, 18, 7, 18. There's been some up and down there, but obviously the 2 5-star linebackers makes this huge. They did lose the receiver to Arizona State. They got 2 4-star quarterbacks, which is interesting. There's going to be some competition there. So, I mean, I sort of feel like, top end, it's very good. I don't know if the depth is there compared to this class or even some classes that they had under Kelly, but the proof is in the pudding as they move forward. You know, how many of these guys are going to pan out? So obviously, you know, I'd say good job, but I think there was a little bit of slippage from last year.
All right, and the last thing is, I'm actually been kind of impressed with the fans who were kind of, I guess, a little disappointed, best way to put it, when the playoffs died at Arizona State. But it seems like with the victory against Utah, it's like everybody collectively realized, oh, going to the Rose Bowl is pretty cool. And you look at the 11 wins, the road wins, they crushed the North, they won the conference title, and it's just year 2 under Cristobal. So, I mean, you got to look at this as a hell of a season.
Oh, absolutely. I think, I know everyone wants to go to the playoffs. I didn't even believe that the playoffs were going to be a given for Oregon, even when they looked really strong there for a little while. They did make it once, and they made it to the national title game one other time. But that's twice in, you know, a 6 or 7 year run of being pretty good. So it's not going to be a given that they're going to be in the top 3 or 4 to have that opportunity. And at the end of the day, if you're not in that mix, there's nothing wrong with winning your conference and going to the Rose Bowl and beating a fellow top 10 team. I mean, I think that's still a big deal. You know, there's some spoilage going on there, and I can understand that. And I think, you know, not winning one when you had an opportunity a couple times stings, makes it more of a desperate, feel of desperation to actually just get one, you know, just get one. And also you can shut Washington up if you get one, and that's an outright one. Right? But I think, you know, given where they are, where they were a few years ago, and the fact that you win a conference, you have a chance to win the Rose Bowl, I think that's a big deal. And we'll see what Chris Rock can do moving forward. It's, you know, they got 3 quarterbacks now, freshman and Tyler Shaw. That's 3 kids. You need one of those 3 to hit, man. It's all about the QB. If one of those 3 guys don't hit, it doesn't matter what you do everywhere else. Get one of those guys to hit. The fact that we have 3 high-end guys coming in is a big deal moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. Quarterback, eye on. So travel safe. I hope you eventually make it to Evergreen. Since we're off next week, we won't chat again until 2020, like I said. So you and yours have a most delightful Christmas, and look forward to chatting when the calendar turns.
Sounds good, man. Talk to you later.
All right, take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, 5 miles an hour. Oh, that brings back memories and ulcers and aggravation and horns.
The best part of that interview was the only, well, it was a lot of good information. The best part for me was I was the only person who got to see it, was you taking a huge swig of, is it the Buble water?
Yeah.
Ask a question. You expect Ventures to go and
give
answer.
Give me at least 40 seconds or
and
so.
You take a huge, huge sip of this water, and then he goes, so what about this? And he asks her, did you see?
Yeah.
And you're mid-swallow, mid-burp, like you've got water coming up and down at the same time, trying to get to the...
Yes. Yeah. Thank God it was a one-syllable answer, or I might be en route to Riverbend.
That was, I've had those bubbly waters. It's almost like an instant burp. So I thought for sure you were either going to burp your answer, not get an answer out, or you were going to choke. And I was going to be like, "If Aaron, we have to hang up on you. I need to call 911.
And by the way, historically, I could burp talk. Going back to my middle school days, I'm talking with the best of them. I don't really want to do that on a supposed professional radio show, but you know. Anyway, if you're oot in a boot and looking for something to do fun this weekend during the week, I've got the triumvirate of magnificent pubs, starting with the original. At 5th and Pearl, we've got Tap and Growler, who have the biggest tap list in town. Some great food to pair with all the great beverage they serve. 5th and Pearl, downtown Eugene, across the street from the 5th Street Public Market. Public House, that's the newest. That's out on A Street in Springfield. One of the most distinctive, cool-looking spaces you will see. And they've got a front patio where you can hang outside. It's enclosed. It's heated. And Beer Garden, right as you hit the Whitaker neighborhood on 6th Avenue, they've got live music every Saturday at 7:30. There's never a cover. It's always all ages. And the back patio is always enclosed. And now it's fully heated. By the way, closed Christmas Day. But the Public House Whiskey Lab and the Attic will be open late New Year's Eve. So, again, check them all out on Facebook, like them on Twitter, and online you got beergardenme.com, publichousehub.com, tapandgrowler.com, the Tap and Growler Stay or Growl. All right, break time. Coming back, we have what I'm going to refer to as a variation of the Tool Shed next. 95.3 The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Guarantee RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top 5 RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Guarantee.com.
Give it to Verdell. He's got the first down and gone. 50. Can you chase your way to the 30? He will run to the 20, to the 5. Touchdown. C.J. Verdell. Thank you, offensive line.
December 6th, right? Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago today. Good luck in prison. Welcome back.
Tannenism.
Crunch time, 95 and 3, the score. Normally at this time, I roll out my nominees for the tool shed, and as I keep my weekly listings, I just thumb through, picked out a few that stood out in 2019. It's not really a good thing. But as always, we bring out the landlord with the keys to open the Crunch Time tool shed.
I love this city. I love being a Yankee.
So while I take this trip down memory lane, I guess yesterday's question, we're still comfortable with Alex Rodriguez as the landlord. I mostly got from people, yeah, you don't really need to change that. So,
does he need a promotion and title? Can he go from landlord of the tool shed? Is the tool shed a bad place so he should actually be demoted in title? Property manager of the tool shed?
That landlord, it just seems, I mean, he's the tool, it's his shed. So if you guys can come up with anything different, let us know. But right now, I'm going to go back to Mount Vernon school superintendent Jason McCullough. Come with me, McCullough. Yeah, hello. He's the failure of a person who with pride announced they were hiring disgraced former Baylor clown Art Briles to continue coaching young men, although the evidence was overwhelming that Briles and many on his staff tried to cover up some heinous sexual crimes and knowingly cut loose sexual predators on campus. And, of course, we discovered Briles is still a sleaze when he got caught using an eligible player, something about leopards and spots. Next up, former Kansas City radio host Kevin Kitzman. Yeah, he's the rocket scientist who was discussing Chiefs coach Andy Reid, who felt he's a terrific X's and O's guy, but not very good at fixing people. It was in the wake of the whole Tyreek Hill suspension for that scary recording where he threatened his girlfriend. Well, Kitzman went right into the gutter, claiming things had not gone well in Reed's family life. And this is a guy knowing Reed and his wife lost their son to a heroin overdose. To use that against the guy to make a point on sports radio, yeah, real classy. And from the desperation file, Boise State baseball. I've forgotten about this one. While this is not evil, like a lot of the stuff that goes on, I'm not sure I've ever seen a group or organization make this big of a stretch to somehow get themselves involved in something, make it about them, that has nothing, zero, nada to do for them. I don't know if you remember. They brought baseball back after 40 years, and they announced the coach would be Gary Van Tol. Now, he was on the Eugene Emerald staff for 3 years, 2015, 16, and 17. So they took the announcement of Philadelphia Philly Hall of Famer Mike Schmidt. At that point, he had announced his retirement 30 years ago. They said, well, because Van Tol had coached in Eugene where Schmidt had played, they acted like there was a Boise State connection. And they tweeted out a picture of Schmidt in his Philly uniform where he played in Eugene to promote their program. It was one of the dumbest things I'd ever seen. And I spend a lot of time on social media, which sometimes is really, really stupid. It's like these dots never, ever connect. And lastly, the clowns if you remember this one, Dare to Put the Knock on Sabrina Ionescu. Oh, they made the list. Remember before the start of last May's conference finals, the young woman who is Sabrina from the Bay Area, a lifelong Warriors fan, you know, crazy to think that she'd be a basketball fan. And so Blazers had just lost game two at Oracle. Her, being a Warriors fan, tweeted out, "Let's go Dubs, 2-0, see you in Portland." And the crybabies that came out of the woodwork, the Twitter handle at BYETI28 posted, "You can't be a Duck and root against Portland. That's a Husky move." And we were like, that doesn't make any sense. There's not even a... And by the way, another one, no connection. She, of course, from Walnut Creek, like tens of thousands of Oregon students, are from elsewhere and bring their other sports loyalties with them. And the connection between the Ducks and Blazers, Portland, what are they, in the Mountain West? Oh, that's right, they're in the NBA, have nothing to do with the Pac-12, doesn't exist, no dot connects there. So, like I said, this wasn't about new inductees, just going back and a quartet of those who just made me think, yeah, this is why we have plenty of time to do this every week. Just a small sampling of what we observed during the course of the year. In this case, 2019. What are you losing your mind over now?
Boise State didn't stop. They kept getting worse.
Seriously?
Mike Yastrzemski knocked in 85 runs in double and triple A during the 18-19 season before being called up for his MLB debut with Braden Spears, whose favorite team is the SF Giants. And so they posted a picture of Mike Yastrzemski in a Giants uniform because he knocked in 85 runs. With a team that has nothing to do with Boise, but with a guy who is from Boise, they won't stop,
no,
man.
No, this
they
is...
won't.
It's just... It's sad. It's desperate. It's clueless. It has nothing to do with you. At least make it a section and say, we are just celebrating baseball and this accomplishment. But to try to act like, well, you got to support Boise State baseball because Mike Yastrzemski and Mike Schmidt.
In 91 days until first pitch, in 1991, Major League Baseball approved the expansion of Omid Hunter's favorite team, the Rockies.
And who's that, Omid Hunter?
That's the guy's Twitter handle. I don't know who it is.
It's sad. All right, well, break in. Coming back on the other... Yeah, close the tool shed, by the way.
My only focus is to play baseball, and to play baseball the right way. That was silly and unprofessional.
He gone!
So either way, on the other side, we're going to start Sports Talk with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Next, 95.3, The Score.
Huzzah!